Be home before dark. Be home before dark. Do you know that one day Christ is going to come and He's going to take His church home before dark? Home before the darkness of the tribulation falls on this earth. Last Sunday evening, I read a verse in your hearing from Mark chapter 13 where Christ said that the tribulation is going to be the worst time in human history. It hadn't happened yet. There has been one other time in human history that was dark and depraved. It was the days leading up to the flood of Noah. The tribulation is going to be worse than that. It will be the worst time in the history of humanity. And so tonight I'm going to continue on in a 3-week series within the series on Revelation by talking to you about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Last Sunday evening we started the first of these 3 messages, and tonight we're going to continue with part number 2. And here's the way I want to divide this up. There are some Old Testament pictures of the pre-tribulation rapture of God's church. Now, to begin with, I want you to join me in Genesis 5, if you're not there already. And let me give you 2 pictures in the Old Testament of the rapture period. Not the pre-tribulation rapture, but 2 pictures in the Old Testament of the rapture of the church. And one of them is in Genesis chapter 5 with a man named Enoch. Genesis chapter 5, and notice verse number 24. Enoch was a rather unusual man in that he is one of 2 men in the Old Testament who did not die. There have only been 2 men in human history who have not died yet. Enoch is one of them. Look in Genesis 5 in verse number 24. Genesis chapter 5. In verse number 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It was Vance Hebner who said that one day Enoch, who was so close to God, was walking with the Lord one afternoon, and the Lord said, "Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are your house. Why don't you just come on home with me tonight?" And God took him. This man loved the Lord with all of his heart, and God translated him. When you read about the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews said that by faith Enoch was translated so that he would not see death. Do you know what the word translated means? If I translate something from Greek into English, I am taking it over from one place to another. Laleo is the word meaning to speak, and trans means across. If you take a transatlantic ship cruise, you're going across the Atlantic. Enoch was taken from one place to the other. He was taken from the earth into heaven. He is a picture of the raptured church. The reason I can say that is because Paul later is going to write in 1 Corinthians 15:51, and he's going to say, "Brethren, I show you a mystery. We will not all die." And so Enoch prefigures, if you will, a generation of Christians who will not walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We've heard this saying all of our life, the only certain things in life are death and taxes. That is not true. Taxes are certain. Death isn't. If Jesus came tonight, we would not walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So Enoch is a picture of the raptured church. Now go over to 2 Kings 2, and let's see Brother Elijah. He too is a picture of the raptured church. 2 Kings chapter 2, and we know what happened to him as well. And so Enoch and Elijah both are pictures of what God is going to do one day with that generation of Christians that is alive when Jesus returns. Whether we go by way of the grave or by way of the sky, the Word says we will be with the Lord. Whether we walk through the valley of the shadow of death or God spares us that by rapturing us instead of us dying, we're a winner either way. 2 Kings chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And he didn't die either. And so these two men are pictures of a raptured church. Now I'm going to give you some pictures in the Old Testament of a pre-tribulation rapture. Let's talk about the man Lot. Would you join me in Genesis 19? Genesis chapter 19. Lot is going to be a picture of a pre-tribulation rapture. You say, how in the world do you deduce that? Well, let's look in Genesis 19. Lot and his family were in the wicked twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had a wife. Jesus told you to remember her. Did you know that? The second shortest verse in the Word of God, the shortest is two words, John 11, 35, Jesus, finish it, wept. Very good. The second shortest verse in the Word of God, three words, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? Well, she turned back. She looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. You heard the story of little Johnny in Sunday school one morning, and the teacher was talking about Lot's wife. And the teacher said, Lot's wife looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And little Johnny said, teacher, that's nothing. The other day, my mother was driving down the road in her car. She looked back and turned into a telephone pole. That beats Lot's wife, I guess. But he had a wife and he had two daughters. And by the time the angels came to deliver them from Sodom and Gomorrah, chronologically, Lot and his family had been living there for 20 years. Isn't it amazing that Abraham and God began to dicker about how many people God would spare the cities for? They started with 50, and God said, if you can find 50 righteous in Sodom, I'll spare it. And then 40, and then 30, and then 20, and then 10. And God said to Abram, I will spare the cities for 10 righteous. And there weren't even 10 righteous there. Lot had been there 20 years and could not even impact 10 people for good and for God. And so the angels get there, Genesis 19. And I want to tell you that Lot is a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 said Lot was a Christian. He wasn't a very good one, but he was a Christian. Now, we don't know about his wife and his daughters, but we do know that Lot was a believer in the Old Testament sense of the word. But I want you to make this notation. Lot's presence in Sodom prevented the judgment of God from falling. I deduce that from Genesis 19, 15, when the angel said, look at this now. The angel said in Genesis 19 and verse 15, when the morning dawned, the angel said, get up and get out of here, for the Lord is going to destroy this place. And now this is Lot saying this, not the angel. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. And so when the morning dawned in verse 15, Genesis 19, 15, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise and take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, The men took hold of his hand, these are the angels, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Do you know that God could not destroy this city until the righteous had been removed? In fact, here's what the angel said to Lot. We can do nothing until first you are out of the city. This city is not going to be destroyed until first you are brought out. Look in chapter 19, verse 22. These are the words, hurry and escape to the mountain, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. In other words, God was not going to rain judgment on the cities until the righteous had been removed. And so it is with the tribulation. Do you know what is preventing tonight the tribulation from happening in this world? It is the fact that we are here. What is preventing God from unleashing the horrors of the 7 years of judgment during the tribulation is the fact that the salt and the light, the body of Christ, the church, is still in this world. As long as Lot was in Sodom, judgment was going to be withheld. Now, catch this. When the righteous were removed, judgment came down upon these cities. Look at verse number 24 of Genesis 19. He turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse. Excuse me, I'm over in 2 Kings. Forgive me. I'm doing well tonight, aren't I? I had already gone back to 2 Kings. Genesis chapter 19. And you can see that in verse number 24, as soon as the family, Lot and his two daughters, because his wife got consumed in the judgment, she looked back and was destroyed. But in chapter 19 and verse 24, the judgment of God fell. The Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens, and he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. And look at verse 26. His wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. When the righteous were removed, judgment fell. Now, get the picture in a more detailed way. If you look in chapter 19 again, verses 16 and 17, do you know that Lot and his family were forced out of the city? In chapter 19, verses 16 and 17, he was lingering. He didn't want to leave. His wife didn't want to leave. She looked back with longing. And so because the judgment of God could not fall until the righteous man Lot was removed, the angels had to force the issue. The men, in verse 16, took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and they brought him out of the city. Look at verse 17. It came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you or stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be destroyed." They were removed from the sphere of judgment by force. I told you last Sunday night that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Word of God says the Lord one day is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. And that word caught up literally means to be seized with force. Jesus is going to come back one day and he is going to remove us as the angels did with Lot from the sphere of judgment. He is going to remove us with force just as the angels had to force the issue and grab these people by the hand and pull them out of the city to escape the judgment of God. The promise that we read last Sunday evening, in fact, I didn't read it, but Lonnie did, because that part of my Bible had been kind of pulled off and the page had been destroyed. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus said, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you out of the hour of trial that is going to come on the entire earth. Literally, Jesus said, I'm going to remove you, as he did Lot and Lot's family, from the sphere of judgment. So Lot is a picture of a pre-tribulation rapture. Lot got out of the city before the judgment of God fell. We're going to be taken out of this world before the judgment of the tribulation. Join me in Genesis 7. Noah is another picture of a pre-tribulation rapture. Genesis chapter 7. Do you know there's only two worldwide judgments mentioned in the Word of God? Just two. God has judged nations. He has judged various geographical areas in the world, but there have only been two. In fact, only one has occurred to date. That is a worldwide judgment, and that was the flood of Noah. So we see in Genesis chapter 7 some things that can actually pertain to our understanding of the next worldwide judgment. And the next worldwide judgment is going to be the tribulation. You say, Pastor, what is God going to judge during the tribulation? A Christ-rejecting world. When the salt is gone. And I want you to think about this for a moment. The very moment the trumpet sounds and we are raptured into heaven, there will not be one Christian left on the earth. Not one. Now, there will be people saved during the tribulation. We established that last Sunday evening. In fact, because of the witnessing of the 144,000 Jews, John said in Revelation 7, I saw a multitude, a harvest no man could number. But the very second after the church has been taken into heaven, there will not be one Christian on the earth. And God is going to unleash His fury on a Christ-rejecting world. Why did God judge the earth with a flood? Because no one responded to the preaching of Noah. Noah started with eight people, and that's what he ended with, eight. He didn't have one convert in 120 years of preaching. You say, I didn't know Noah was a preacher. Sure he was. The book of 1 Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. Every day as he was building the ark, he was preaching. He not only preached verbally, judgment is coming, but every time he went to work that morning with his sons and they were building that ark, they were preaching by the mere fact they were building that boat, that judgment and doom was coming. In both of these worldwide judgments, the flood and the tribulation, the righteous will miss the judgment. Noah and his family will miss the judgment. The church, Christians, are going to miss the judgment of the tribulation. Here's what scholars say about the population of the earth during Noah's day. 500,000 people. 500,000, half a million people populated the earth during the days of the flood. And 499,992 of them were lost. Only eight were saved. Here they are. Noah, his wife, we don't know her name, we call her Mrs. Noah. Three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and three daughters-in-law. Eight people walked onto that ark. Eight people came off. When they walked onto the ark before the flood, they were a minority. When they came off, they were a majority. There was no one else on the earth. Do you know how long they were on that ark? Now, don't say 40 days and 40 nights. That's how long it rained. We've got a chronology of how long to the day they were on the ark. Here it is. 1 year, 1 month, 17 days. They floated until that ark touched the top of Mount Ararat, which is in modern-day Turkey. They floated for a year, a month, and 17 days. How is Noah a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture? God judged the whole world. There was not a part of this planet that was not touched by the flood. Now, there are some who say that the flood was geographical in nature, that it only affected that part of the world. That is not what Scripture teaches. The Bible says that every part of the earth had water on it, even up to the mountains. So here they are on the ark. The judgment of God is coming upon the whole world. Revelation 3:10, Again, Lonnie read it last Sunday evening. Jesus said, I am going to take you out of the sphere of judgment that is coming on the, listen to the word, whole earth. The tribulation is not going to be relegated to some geographical area over in the Middle East or in China or in America. The entire world is going to be impacted by the tribulation. I had you turn to Genesis chapter 7. Look at verse 17. Genesis 7 and verse 17. The flood was on the earth 40 days. That means it rained that long. And the waters increased. And look at this. I don't think I'm reading too much into this text. I see the rapture here. The ark was lifted up above the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something I don't want you to ever forget. The ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus, a symbol of our Savior. I could preach a whole sermon on the typology, the symbolism the ark is of Jesus. There was only one way into the ark. Did you know that? One way, one door. Jesus said, I'm the door to heaven. Only one way. There were three stories to the ark. There's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I mean, on and on and on the symbolism, the typology goes. They're in Christ. They're in the ark. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. They got in the ark and God shut them in. No one could get in when the door was shut and they couldn't get out. They could not have gotten off that love boat if they had wanted to because God shut them in. That's a picture of the eternal security the believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here they are in the ark, and look what happened. The ark is a symbol of Jesus. And chapter 7, verse 17, says they were literally lifted up above the judgment. What was the judgment? The water. The flood was the judgment. They're lifted up above the judgment. Do you know that's what Jesus is going to do for you one day when He comes back? He's going to take His church and He will lift us up above the judgment that is going to come upon this earth. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 4 says we will be caught up. We will be lifted up. Verse 17, the ark rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed, verse 18, and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the water. And so Noah's ark is a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture because they were lifted up above the judgment. The judgment of God did not touch them. Now, would you join me in Exodus chapter 8? I'm going to propose to you that the Egyptian plagues are a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Exodus chapter 8, you're in the book of Genesis. We know all about these 10 plagues that came upon Pharaoh and all of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 8, great book to study, wonderful book, the book of Exodus. The miracles of God are on display in the book of Exodus all through the book. And one of these Sunday evenings when we finish maybe Revelation, we may go to Genesis and then Exodus. Those two books are best studied in tandem, one right after the other, Genesis, then Exodus. But in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 20, look at these words. The Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 8, verse 20, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies and also on the ground in which they stand. Now, let me just give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of this. There were 10 plagues that ended with the death of the firstborn. Judgment fell upon Egypt. During the tribulation, judgment is going to fall upon this earth. But do you know what happened to the Jews? Let me tell you what God did to His chosen people. The Jews were the chosen people of God We Christians today in the year 2010 are the chosen people of the Lord Jesus. Now catch the picture. The Jews lived in Egypt. Egypt is always in Scripture a picture of the world. We live in this world as Christians in the year 2010. God was prepared to judge Egypt. God one day is going to judge this world during the tribulation. And do you know, now turn over, you're in chapter 8. Look in chapter 9 of the book of Exodus in verse 26. God separated His chosen people from the judgment. God took them out of the sphere of judgment into a land. Look at chapter 9 in verse 26. If you know your Bible, you know that they were taken to the land of Goshen. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. I cannot give you the litany, the itemized list of all the judgments, but you've read them, you know about them, and with every judgment that fell, God's children, the children of Israel, had been separated from Egypt, which is a picture of the world, and they're put in the land of Goshen, where none of the plagues touched them. So it is with the people of God in the tribulation. God is going to remove us from the sphere of judgment. He's not going to take us to Goshen, but He's going to take us to heaven. Again, listen to the verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. I will take you, the Lord said, out of the sphere. I will remove you from the judgment that is going to try the whole world. And so do you see the picture? Just as the Jews were taken out of the sphere of God's judgment, so we will be also. Here's something to remember. 7 out of the 10 plagues that fell on Egypt are going to be repeated during the tribulation. I don't know if you knew that or not, but 7 out of the 10 judgments that fell on Egypt are going to be repeated and fall on the earth during the 7-year tribulation. Go with me to Revelation chapter 4, and we'll be finished tonight. Since I took you up to the 7 o'clock hour last Sunday night, I'm going to cut you some slack this evening. Turn to the book of Revelation chapter 4, and here's one more picture, and we're going to be finished. The 24 elders. Now, you know, this just makes logical sense to me when you read the book of Revelation. It is basically written in chronological order. And so by the time you get to Revelation chapter 4, and look at verse 1. Revelation 4 and verse 1, I think you've got in the first chapter of Revelation 4, the rapture of the church. Isn't it interesting that if you've studied the 7 churches, every one of these 7 churches, and I don't want to get off base here and camp out here because it won't profit us anything to do that tonight, but scholars say that every one of the 7 churches that were written to, Ephesus and Sardis and Smyrna and Philadelphia and Laodicea and all these 7 churches, every one of these 7 churches represent a distinct time period in the history of the Christian church. And scholars say that we are living, and I don't dispute this at all, in fact, I agree with it, we are living in the Laodicean church age. The Laodiceans were the last church to be addressed in Revelation chapter 3. In fact, if you want to see whether or not you think we are living in the Laodicean church age in the year 2010, listen to what Jesus said about them in verse number 15 of Revelation 3. I know your works. You were neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. I think that pretty much sums up where we are in the year 2010. We are living in the day of the lukewarm church and the lukewarm Christian. And he said in verse 16, because you are lukewarm, tepid, you're neither cold nor hot. By the way, do you know what Jesus said to this church? Did you catch the implication? I would rather you be one or the other. but not lukewarm. Jesus is saying to them, as he says to us, I would rather you be cold than to be merely lukewarm. The ideal is that we be on fire and we be hot-hearted for the Lord Jesus, but he said, I'd rather you be ice cold than to be merely lukewarm. An amazing statement. And he said, because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot in verse 16, I will spew you out of my mouth. The literal Greek word here is vomit. And then he said of them, and boy, does this encapsulate the church of the year 2010. He said, you're saying about yourself, we are rich, we are wealthy, we have need of nothing. And you don't even know that you were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That is the age in which we're living. Ladies and gentlemen, the Laodicean church age precedes the coming of the Lord Jesus, because the last church he wrote to symbolizes the age in which we're living, and the next thing on God's prophetic calendar is Revelation 4, verse 1, when a trumpet sounds and the voice says, come up here. That is the rapture. So when you get to Revelation 4, verse 1, you've got the rapture. Now, see if this doesn't make logical sense to you. When you look at Revelation 4, verse 4, here is the church in heaven. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones, 24 elders, seated, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Do you know what John sees by the time you get to Revelation 4, verse 4? He sees the church raptured, robed, and rewarded in heaven. Chronologically speaking, we get raptured into heaven in Revelation 4, 1. We are clothed in white, which is going to be the official attire of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you remember the parable when the man crashed the wedding banquet without a garment on? And the host of the wedding banquet said, how did you get in here without the official attire of the wedding? You're not in wedding attire. You're not dressed for the wedding. And he was cast out. We are heading for a wedding in heaven, and the attire is the white robe of purity. We will wear those robes when we marry the Lord Jesus. The mere fact that the church is in heaven, white robes, crowns on our head, means we've already been rewarded for our service on the earth. The church is in heaven in Revelation chapter 4. And listen to this. Look in chapter 6, verse 1. The tribulation begins. Revelation 6 in verse 1. The Lamb opened one of the seals. Remember from a few weeks ago, no one was found worthy in heaven to open the seven seals and began loosing the judgments of the tribulation. Seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments, and the first judgment, and we'll see this in three weeks, the first judgment of the tribulation is found in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Lamb opened the first of the seals. Pastor, what are you trying to say? Merely this, that the church is raptured, robed, and rewarded in heaven in Revelation 4, and the tribulation begins in chapter 6. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out we're home before dark. We are home before the tribulation begins. Bow your heads for just a moment. Every head bowed.